Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, indeed, you're once again in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Well, on tonight, I'm asking all listeners, once again, please get your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready, so that you can follow along with the man of God, and none other than Deacon Marvin Cox will be bringing forth God's word on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox will be filling in for Pastor Eric Morfitt, who was not able to be with us on tonight. So thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox for filling in for him on tonight. I just want to say thank him in advance, and also Pastor Eric Morfitt also says thank you. We get ready to go into prayer right now because we are living in the last days, and it is truly praying time. So I'm asking all listeners, if you would please pray with me at this time, because we do serve an awesome God. Not only can he hear, but he can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise, thanking you for who you are, thanking you that you have allowed us to wake up and see this a brand new day that you have made. So this we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are still in total control at all times. We thank you that all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. We thank you that you cannot lie, fail, nor change. You are our promise keeper. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We come in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions and blot out all of our iniquities, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer in Jesus Christ's name all over the land, forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer, our hope and desire that should there be any listeners on tonight that are not saved in the name of Jesus, we pray that something will be said through your man of God on tonight. They will prick their hearts to the point that they will be able to confess. They will open their mouth, confess their sins. They will ask Jesus Christ with their own mouth to come to their hearts and save them. Even on tonight, as they hear your word, is our prayer, hope, and desire in Jesus' name. We continue to lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land in the name of Jesus. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can, because we do know that you're still working miracle signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. We now lift up our Michigan governor, Governor Whitmer, and her entire family. In the plot that was tried, kidnap her and possibly end her life. But we thank God that those perpetrators have been caught, and we pray that justice prevail in this case. We continue to lift up all those that are dealing with sorrow in the loss of loved ones all over the land. I continue to lift up my entire family in the loss of our aunt Lou Era, who passed away this week. We also had another aunt that passed away about 2 weeks ago in Alabama. So we know that you are still in control and you know what's best for all of us. So we ask that you will continue to comfort and strengthen my entire family as well, and all those that are bereaved on tonight, that we will continue to lean on you, that you will continue to comfort and strengthen us as only you can. Now, Lord, we pray that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you will be glorified. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Have your way, Lord, that you be glorified from tonight through this ministry and through this worldwide platform. In Jesus' name, you didn't cock on tonight, as you always do, that you alone will be glorified through him on tonight. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight's scripture food for thought comes to us simply saying, simply trust God. Once again, tonight's scripture food for thought comes to us saying, simply trust God. See, we make it hard, those that don't believe in God and don't want to trust him. We don't want to put our faith in God. It's real easy and it's real simple. We sometimes make it hard, but God made it possible, made it easy. We just have to trust him by faith. So that's what it takes, to trust God. Trust God by faith. Even though you can't see him, we know that he exists, and it's in him that we live, we move, and have our being. So right now we're going to go to our music break. And once again, I pray that you, the listening audience, have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready, because Deacon Marvin Cox is going to bring forth another powerful word on tonight. He's also going to share with us first another inspirational poem. I just want to say up front, I most likely will say it again at the close of this broadcast on tonight, but I'm looking forward to this coming Saturday. I'm excited. Deacon Marvin Cox and I will be doing a tag team message on this coming Saturday night. So you want to inform your friends and your neighbors and loved ones, let them know that the host, Brother James Brown Jr., and Deacon Marvin Cox will be tag teaming a message from the Lord on this coming Saturday night, October the 10th at 8 o'clock p.m. We're going to go to our music break right now because the time that we're living in, I'm going to play Pray For Me, because we, the world, the United States, we are in trouble and we need prayer. The Word of God says the prayers of the righteous avail as much. So we're going to extend this song out to every listener on tonight, that we will all continue to pray one for another, that God will be glorified. Enjoy the music break.
Come on, KD.
Hallelujah. It's an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My. Pray for me. Yes, sir. know you're standing in need of prayer. Come on, open your mouth, everybody, and say prayer.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Pray for me. You pray for me, and I pray for you. Listen, before I bring on Deacon Marvin Cox, I just want to remind all listeners on tonight, there are a lot of states that have already opened up and are receiving the people to cast their ballots and vote. I've already done mine. Most of my family members have already voted as well. So I'm just saying that to say that if you are of age and you are able to get out and vote, whether you have to do it by mail, however you vote, it's so important that you vote. So many people have died, shed their blood to have give us the right to be able to vote. So don't let this opportunity pass you by. And as the song just said, it's an urgent request. When the song said, when playing the song, pray for me, did you hear what he said in that song? It's an urgent request. Yes, and because of this upcoming election, this is an urgent request that everyone is able to get out and vote. Again, if you have to do it by mail, make sure you vote. Your vote do count. So I'm so excited right now to be able to turn this mic over to, once again, to Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, he's going to share with us another inspirational point. Then he's going to go directly into God's word. So I'm getting ready to bring Deacon Marvin Cox on now. So I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you, Brother Brown, first giving honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This truly is an honor and a privilege and an awesome responsibility to bring forth God's word, and I don't take it lightly. I want to go directly into God's word tonight. And I want you listeners to look around you, because whether we know it or not, we are in a storm. And I'm giving you the warning that there is a storm coming. And this is called a storm is coming. The days before the storm. Or what would you do the days before the storm? Would you have a shelter secured to keep you warm? Tell me what you do when your skies are clear. Do you feel in your heart you have nothing to fear? Because the sun is shining and it's a beautiful day. Do you ever think in your mind that there is no reason to pray? All I'm asking you to do is do you have yourself together, and have you prepared yourself for stormy weather? Now, this is what happened the day of the storm. Before the first rain drops or the snow begins to fall and the winds beat heavily on the seawall, you begin to notice changes in the atmosphere, and in the western sky, dark clouds start to appear. The ants refuse to work in the fields of clover, and the foxes won't leave their dens until the storm passes over. They won't get caught in the storm, though they won't take that chance. They prepare themselves for the storm well in advance. If the insects and the animals already know what to do, if you didn't prepare for this storm, shame on you. During the storm, do you ever wonder why What did I do to cause the angels to cry? When lightning strikes the ground or the wind uproots a tree, do you say, thank you, Lord? That could have been me. Have you found you a place where you can keep still? Or do you tremble in fear of how helpless you feel? When God blackens the sky and our vision grows dim, and nature bows down in obedience to him, is a storm a violent act or of nature a wake-up call to man that we should humble ourselves to God while we still can? After the storm, the aftermath, the storm doesn't destroy everything in this path. It just picked out a few things on which to focus his wrath. Things slowly returned to normal during the aftermath. The bees started making honey. The hyenas began to laugh. But this is no laughing matter. The storms of life come without warning. It may come in the middle of the night. It may come early in the morning. Just remember, another storm is coming through, and all of its rage could be directed at you. The lightning may strike you down because of your ways. The wind may uproot you because you didn't give God the praise. So prepare yourself for your storm. It could come any day. You build a shelter in your heart every time that you pray. While the sun is shining bright in the noonday sky, and as gentle breezes caress the treetops, as cottony clouds go rolling by. So when the rays of the sun keep you secure and warm, remember God is the only one who can protect you from his storm. Amen. I hope that that is an encouragement to God's children, because there's a lot of us that right now we're in a storm of death. We're in a storm of not being able to make up our mind, and it is one of the most awesome things that God can ever bring forth. And we feel so helpless during a storm, but now is the time to look to the Lord. Now, that being said, I'm going to immediately go over to tonight's lesson, and the lesson is from the book of Jonah, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 11. And it reads, and see, whatever periodical you have, is basically, the Word of God is basically saying the same. But it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, were not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful. And the God, Lord God, prepared a gourd and made that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it had withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in night and perished in the day. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern whether their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. I just read unto you from the book of Jonah, verses, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 11. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our soul forever. If we pick out a topic for tonight, remember we talked about that storm. But tonight's topic will be about a saving word. And our subtopic would be, why are you so angry about it? Or why are you waiting around? Okay, now, when Jonah is mentioned in the Bible, most of us think about him and the whale. They ask you, what do you know about Jonah? We say, well, we know that God gave him a commission to go someplace, but he went another place. But then God got him back on the right path, and then he used the whale to follow him and so on and so forth. But tonight's lesson is about not being swallowed by a fish, but being swallowed up by your pride. We know that this saving word that Jonah gave to the people of Nineveh. And see, I had to give you a little history on Nineveh because I skipped all the way from the first all the way to the fourth chapter. See, God had, their sins had come up before God, and God wanted Jonah to go because in 40 days he was going to destroy the whole city of Nineveh. And he sent Jonah on this trip. Jonah went in the opposite directions, as some of us do. When God go east, we go west. And so, in the process of him going the wrong way, he got turned around. So when he got back on the ship, headed right back to Nineveh, then he became a danger. And see, this is why we have to be extra, extra careful. When God gives us something to do, we become dangerous, and we endanger all the people that are around us. And so a mighty storm came upon the ship, and Jonah was down in the belly of the ship, and he was sleeping. And so they were trying to find out, why was God so angry? So they went down and asked Jonah, well, what is it, man, about you that all of this stuff is going on and you in a deep slumber? You know, what meanest thou? You know, what is going on? But so when the storm in your life come up, the first thing we do is we begin to question God, because the power and the might of the storm, it humbles everyone around, even the biggest, from the smallest to the tallest. They sit down in obedience unto the Lord. So Jonah knew that it was him. So he instructed the gentleman on the ship to, I mean you no good, throw me overboard. And so to expedite his trip to Nineveh, because I can imagine that the storm was out at sea, but to expedite his trip to the shore, he was swallowed by this big fish. Some people say it's a whale, but other publications say that it's a big fish. But we know that it was a giant fish that was able to swallow him. And so if you look at it, and people tell me I have a unique way of explaining things, but if you look at it, God turned the big fish into an Uber, and he transported Jonah to the shores of Nineveh. And Nineveh, he said, go cry out against that great city. And so Nineveh was a large city. It was a city with a population of 60,000, which interpreted as 120,000 people that were about to be destroyed if Jonah did not bring the saving word unto Nineveh. And so they said it was a large metropolitan area. That's not even including the children and the cattle and all the livestock and everything. So Jonah went and he told the people about what God had told him. He said, I can imagine he said, repent and turn from your wicked ways. He gave him a warning. He said, everybody in the city will be destroyed. So the king, he heard this, and so he put out a decree, and everybody in the city were spared. Everybody in the city repented. But see, Jonah didn't like that. And the reason he didn't like that is because the Assyrians and the Ninevites were mortal enemies. And you know how sometimes when your enemies are blessed, we don't take too kindly to that. But the word of God, which was that saving word delivered by Jonah, it saved everybody in that metropolitan area from the king on down. But see, we're going to pick it up on the fourth chapter, the first verse. And it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, could you imagine how we sometimes do when God bless somebody, when somebody repent, and we don't take too kindly of it? When our enemies repent, we feel in our heart that God should still punish them. We feel in our heart that it should have been more than what it was. God should not have shown them mercy. God should not have shown them grace. But see, we all have short memories, because not long ago, Jonah was disobedient to God. God told him to go one place, but he went the other place. But see, this is how we do sometimes in the house of prayer. We overlook all of the disobedience that we had towards God. And we think that those that have went out, those that have become our enemies, those that we have fought with, we feel that they shouldn't have no type of mercy from God. When God just spared our life because he found favor in us and he wanted us to do what he wanted us to do. So, as I was saying, he brought forth a saving word. He brought it forth in a way that it was so powerful that it penetrated the heart, the stony hearts of the men. It penetrated the hearts of the women. It penetrated the hearts of the children. It penetrated the hearts of the livestock. Could you imagine being in such a holy place, whereas everything in there has repented? But some of us don't like that. We don't like it when we see somebody repenting, even though we don't know how long that repentance will last. But when you ask God for forgiveness, see, in the city of Nineveh, they repented, and they stayed repentant for approximately 150 years. But at that particular time, Jonah didn't have no way of knowing how long they would repent. So as I was saying, he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my sin when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. Okay. Now, he was recruited to go from one place to another. Now he's calling God merciful, but how many of us know that God is merciful, but in the way we treat other people, we are unmerciful. We want to become the judge, the jury, and the prosecutor, all wrapped up into one. So he said, I know you're gracious, God, and merciful. And so he said, and repentest thee of evil. So if we just look at that, and somebody is acknowledging how good God is. You know, we had a saying a long time ago, my brothers and myself, and we would say, get what you want and get away from the rest. Now, preacher, can't you hear God telling you, do what I tell you to do and get away from the rest? Don't stick around. Don't wait for the results. You know why? Because you're going to be disappointed. Because you could just use yourself as an example. How many times has somebody told you what thus said the Lord? And it took it a long time for it to penetrate our thick skulls before we realized that that seed had been planted. If you look out there in the desert, there's a plant that only opens up, only blooms ever so many years. So we had to give ourselves that chance. The seed, parents, that you planted to your children, don't stick around for the result. Forget about your father's business. Do what it is that you have to do. Don't feel offended, which is what happened to Jonah. He was offended. Say, God, you know what? You got a lot of nerve to spare these people. You know they were renegades and thieves and transgressors. But see, once you deliver that message, don't stick around for the results, because that was a saving word. And see, this is where the frustration preachers come in at. What preachers do, what we do as parents and people in authority, as I've been saying for the last few years, we live in a microwave society. We expect for the things that we do or the things that we say to have what? An instantaneous result. And see, that's what our work problem is now in this world. We want things to happen instantaneously, even though God can change people in the twinkling of an eye. But see, sometimes people will want to not be ready to put that bottle down, to put those opioids down, to start treating their wife right. But then one day they will see the light and know and reflect back on that moment that God captured their attention. And see, when you repent, or when you say, forgive me, you're just making a statement to God, and you're making a statement to other people. That which I did against you, I will do no more. But see, we know that God is a God of what? A second chance. We know that a lot of times it's more than one time to get it right. We know that in our efforts, sometimes our human frailties take over. And our capabilities of doing things, we have to have help, because see, the thing about it is that we cannot do things on our own. I cannot correct my faults on my own. I may have a great desire to do so, but the lure of the streets, the lure of winking at my neighbor's wife, sometimes these things are so strong that they overpower you. So we have to ask the Lord, if I'm drinking beer, Lord, I'm trying to, but you got to take the taste of this beer out of my mouth. You got to take this lust out of my heart. And see, when he remove it, it's removed forever. But we are the ones that go back and pick it up, because see, God is not going to force you or nobody to anything. So therefore, verse number 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Wow. Ain't that something? When some people pout, and I heard a lot of young people say that. I heard my grandchildren say this on many occasions, and it was hard for me to restrain myself. I know that it might have been hard for God to restrain himself after Jonah did what he did. For somebody to tell you, that aggravating. When somebody say, because I didn't have my way, I wish I was dead. Mm. Now, imagine that. People want to end their own life because they didn't have their way. Now, let us go to the prodigal son. Let us look at how his elder brother acted. When he came back, after he went out there and did everything that he thought he was big enough to do, and then he realized, he repented, he came back, he said to his father, just take me in as a hired servant. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. An elder brother, as we sometimes do when people come back to the church, he pouted. He disowned the young man. When we get angry with people, we don't own them no more. If it's a son or daughter, we tell our wife, not my son, but we say, your son, you better get your son in line, because if you don't, I'm going to break my knife off at his neck. So we have a tendency of disowning those people who we feel have offended us. But there should be no reason for us to be offended, because God has shown mercy to somebody, because God has blessed somebody, because God has turned somebody around, because God put that person in spiritual rehab. See, those are the reasons right there where an individual will go back, because, see, that saving word. And I would feel blessed that God used me as a vessel to deliver such an awesome word. I know it was not me, but I know that it was God's word through me. God would use me and use you also as an instrument to bring forth his word. Now, as I say, could you imagine this brother just pouting and really being upset and wanting to die? Then said the Lord, "Dost thou well to be angry?" So let me translate that. He said, "It is right for you to have this unrighteous attitude. Because I told you a long time ago to love your enemy as yourself." So if you love your enemy as yourself, because even though the Lord went through a lot of things, he never harmed any of his enemies. I want you to think about that. Somebody did all of these things to you, and the only thing that you did to them in return was give them your love. So see, this saving word, preacher, every Sunday, the Lord has given you a saving word to give to his people. And we look out into the pews and we become so frustrated because we see all types of ungodliness going on. But see, it's not our job to stick around for the result. Why? Because, okay, in Nineveh, it was 120,000 people that were saved. But see, there were more yet to be saved in other places. So we got to do what we do and go about our Father's business. After a good sermon on Sunday, when God has been filled the place, and we go out into the street, and we see that little beggar on the street, or we see somebody out there peddling their flesh, and we just give them a saving word. Sister, you don't have to live like that. Brother, you don't have to live like that. So when you give somebody a spiritual option to go forth in the name of the Lord, and then you see them later on, and they didn't straighten up their life, why should we get an attitude about that? Even though that person, that beggar, I gave him $10, but he stole 20 from me. So we have to be careful. It's kind of hard for us to hold back our feelings when it comes down to what God has done and what he will do for other people. So this saving word, this wonderful, powerful saving word that was brought forth, he wanted to sit around and come back and question God as to, you know, and we do this all the time. Say, if it was me, Lord, if it was me out there on the freeway, I wouldn't that officer would have wrote me 5 tickets instead of letting me get off with a warning. So we always put ourselves in that pity party position. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what become of the city. Now, that's something else. When you're sitting back waiting on something negative to happen, I see God told him from the beginning, you take my word to them and warn them, and I'll spare them. But what's the matter, preacher? Mother, we don't trust God enough to just deliver his word and keep on going, or what the word says, keep it moving? Because there are other people that we got to go out to. We got to go out into the highways and byways and the hedges and to compel them to come in. So, moving right along, it says, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose, and it smote the gourd. God gave Jonah a gourd. And then he turned right around. He was merciful in giving him that. And he, in the morning, he took it away. So see, Jonah had more compassion, which something that a lot of people do. We have more compassion about our car than we do about people. There's some that will get into a car accident. Watch out now. They get into a car accident and get out swinging. Won't even ask the other people in the automobile, hey, are you all right? You know, with the baby in the back seat, all right? We got more compassion. You messed up my car. I just bought this car. But see, we don't realize that God will give us another car. God will replace that which was broken. If it's whatever it might be, we don't look at that fact right there. We become so spontaneous in our anger that we want some. We looking for some negative results. See, so we have to, as I say, be extra careful. When you stick around for the results, I'm telling you right now, you are going to be disappointed. You're going to suffer some heartache. You're going to feel left out. You're going to start feeling sorry for yourself. I know that's something that we don't want to do, but that's those things. Those are natural human responses when it comes down to that. When God bless our neighbor, we say to ourselves, shoot, he got everything. He don't deserve that. We want to take away God's blessing. Now, could you imagine that? And we're going down to verse number 11. It says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. So God is asking the question of you, asking the question of Jonah. He's asking the question of myself. All of these people here, because there's so many people that have went astray, it is not right for me to spare them, the children. And see, this is what a problem that we're having now. There are no some people that are not showing compassion for those people that are injured, those people that have died, those people that are sick. You got some passionless people out there who feel that, who are so narcissistic in their presentation that all they do is think about themselves. Jonah, if you were here right now, I believe I would be forced to tell you, hey, brother, this ain't about you. I would tell the eldest brother, God blessing somebody else, blessing your little brother to come back home where he was out there and he had lost his way and he finally came back and he was remorseful for all the things that he'd done. Why are you making this about yourself? There's so many examples that we can have when people come back in the house of prayer. We make their return all about ourselves. We don't go to the front of the line because, see, if you're happy to see somebody, they might not do it now because they're talking social distance and don't shake hands. But I know just a few years back, even last year, somebody returned to the house of prayer, some of us would be so happy to see them. We'd shake their hands so hard, we'd almost shake the half of them up under their arm. But then there are some that will give you that two finger with that thumb and that index finger, that two finger handshake. And then they will sulk back to whatever position they had. And see, these are the things that is forcing people back until out there. Because I know if I did something and I came back home, it's not that I never done it. But when people have a forgiving heart, they're not going to hold that against you. They're just going to say, hey, you know, you made a mistake. They might not even know you made a mistake because they don't have to remind you, but they're going to show you all the love that you can muster. The father, when he ran out to meet the young man, he didn't give him a lecture. He didn't say, boy, I told you, when the Samaritan went on the Jericho road, been torn and tattered. He didn't jump off his beast and say, man, look, I told you, man, you better stay off of Mack Avenue. The first thing he did was he jumped off his beast and ministered the man and put the man on the beast and told him, look, and took him to the hospital. He didn't send for no cab, and then he said, took him to the hospital, and he told the people there. He said, take care of this man. Abide till I come. And if his bill run over, I'll take care of it. You know why? Because he was good for it. How many of us is good for it when we put our word out there that to take care of somebody? It gives us a question to ask to ourselves. So, see, this saving word is the story behind the story. I say a lot of stories in the Bible, we associate them with, you know, Daniel and the lion's den and Noah and the flood and Job and his calamities. But if you read a little bit further, it's a story within the story that is going to tell you how real God can be. Because we associate, but see, the thing about it is that Jonah was a man just like any one of us. He had his human frailties, but I'm just saying that don't stick around. Because if you stick around after giving a saving word, if you stick around for the result, you are definitely going to be disappointed. You're supposed to labor with the people. You're supposed to have patience. We're supposed to even be able to put our own personal feelings aside. Because there are some that we just have a personality conflict with. And our heart is not in it. Because you can tell when somebody is enthusiastic about something. And when you do something, when you come before someone, there's two responses that you're going to have. Either they're going to be elated that you come back into the house of prayer, or they're going to be deflated because you're getting more attention than them. Mm-hmm. So, my brothers and my sisters, we have to choose which path we're going to take. Are we going to just go about our Father's business and do what the Lord instructed us to do? Are we going to do that? Because the choice is ours. He gave, within a short amount of time, he gave Jonah a second chance. He told him, and see, we know that disobedience is a price to pay for that. See, we know that mercy to sinful people is something that we don't think they should have. We see that beggar out there on that street, and he's truly hungry. He's truly hungry about all those things that is happening to him. And we'd say, oh, hey, you know, better, first time we say, you better go out there and get a job. Now, we got a whole pocket full of money, and $1 is not going to hurt us one way or the other. But we just can't see how we're going to give somebody our money. Because God's word says, be careful of how you entertain the strategy. It might be an angel of the Lord unaware.
That's right.
So I would tell them, I say, look, I don't know about the sincerity in your heart, but I'm going to give you this in the hopes of you saying you're going to do what you say you're going to do. But after I do that, but see, we lie. I hate to say it, but we lie. I ain't got no money. Wait till I come out. Then we say, oh, I spent all my money in the building. Come out with a popsicle. Got a pocket full of money. We just went there to get a soda. Oh, but I just spent my money. See, we told a lie going in and a lie coming out. But see, that saving word, we don't have no compassion. We don't have no mercy. But now is the time for us to be merciful unto God's people. Time for us to bring forth that saving word and bring it forth in such a way that you don't have to stick around, because all those good things that you do for people, you forget about them. Have you ever done something for somebody and then they come back and say, oh, I remember one time you took me away on the west side. You took me way out of your way. You say, I forgot all about that. Remember one time you know, you and your family bought us Thanksgiving dinner over. You know what? I forgot about that. They have to remind you. You don't have to remind them. So that saving word that God has put on the lips of parents, because when we warn our children, don't do this and don't do that, that's a saving word. when the preachers tell the congregation, don't do this and don't do that, that's a saving word. When you instruct your neighbor, not getting into his business, but just tell him what thus says the Lord, that is a saving word. Don't yes, stick around. Just plant that. Just plant that seed. That's all God wants you to do. He'll do the flowering and the watering, because see, sometimes that seed is going to fall on stony ground. Sometimes it's going to get eaten by the birds. Sometimes the insects are going to come and eat it. But plant the seed anyway, and hope that it lands up on fertile ground. Give it time. Don't live in a microwave society where you want to see the results of what God said right away. Because I know it took me a long time to come to that realization. But see, God spared my life for over 22 years while I was not a bad fellow, not doing anything that would put my soul in jeopardy. But I wasn't up under the knowledge or the understanding of serving a true and a living God. So Jonah brought that saving word to the people. God used him as a vessel. But he got angry. He got an attitude. He questioned God. He wanted to die. He was pouting. All of these things wrapped up into one. Why? Because he was not satisfied. Because, as I told you earlier, it ain't none of my business how God handles somebody. Preachers, it ain't none of your business. Just tell them the word. That's why we have so much turmoil. You tell them what thus said the Lord, then you did your job. I mean, it's good to have an interest in somebody. But so many preachers' marriages have been interrupted because they took a special interest in Sister Sarah Smell So Sweet, which her initials is So we have to be extra careful when it comes down to these things. We have to be mindful that saving word that God put on our lips, it didn't belong to us. We got to take in mind that regardless of how we feel about somebody, we got to put our feelings aside. I think the saying says, let go and let God. So we cannot allow ourselves to be in a slump any longer, because we started off with that storm is coming. It ended up that you were spared by the storm this time, but next time that storm might uproot you. Next time it might strike you down. So we have to be extra careful. I thank you for the privilege of your time. Thank you for allowing me to come into your homes and share this word. Hopefully it is also a saving word. See, most of you I don't know, so I can't stick around and wait for the results. I'm just a seed planter. And I just play that. It's fertilized in your mind as well as in your heart. And now I turn you back over to the hand of Brother Brown. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox. Thank you for that much-needed word on tonight. Before we go off the air, I just want to make sure that the listeners know that on this coming Saturday night, Deacon Marvin Cox and I will be doing a tag-team message. So I'm excited about what the Lord is going to say through Deacon Marvin Cox and myself through his word on this coming Saturday night. So you want to inform your neighbors, your friends, your family, to tune in and hear what thus said the Lord through myself and through Deacon Marvin Cox on this coming Saturday night on this worldwide platform. I give God the glory and honor in advance for what he's going to do. Again, I want to say to the listening audience, do not let this opportunity pass you by. Too many people have bled and died and suffered that we would have an opportunity and a right to be able to vote. Thank God I've already voted. Myself and most of my family members have already voted. If you have to vote by mail, take care of that business right now. Get on the phone, do whatever you need to do to get your ballots to you so that you can vote, so that your vote can count. Every vote counts. Some people think that I'm only one person, but my little vote don't count. Yes, it does. Your one vote can make all the difference in the world. Because of the time that we're living in, it is so vital, it is so important that everyone that has an opportunity, everyone that is age eligible to vote, make sure you vote again. Your vote do count. So we're going to get ready to close out for tonight. I do want to thank Deacon Marvin Cox for filling in for Pastor Eric Morpheus on tonight. I just thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox. He is a true man of God who is, no matter when I call upon him to bring God's word, even if it's not his time or scheduled time, he always comes through. So that's why the Lord said, be ye also ready. We have to always be ready because we never know when we're going to be called upon. That goes for myself as well and for every listener. Always be ready to give an account for why you trust in God. Because somebody might ask you that question. Why do you trust in God? What is faith to you? So you should, the Bible tells us we should always be ready to give an answer. And that answer should always be giving God glory, honor, and praise. We're going to close off for tonight. And I thank God for every listener. You are always in my prayers. Even though I may not know who you are, thank God he knows who you are. He knows where you are. And he promised that he would give you and grant you and I the desires of our hearts if we walk upright before him. So that's why I thank God for this worldwide ministry and platform and such great and awesome men and women of God, such as Deacon Marvin Cox, Pastor Eric Morpheus, Pastor Norman King, and all other guests that come forth over this worldwide platform delivering God's word to his people, even to those that are spiritually blind. I thank God for each one of you. So that's why it's so important that we continue to lift each other up in prayer and encourage one another in God's word. Yes, we are our brother's keeper, and we do need one another. So on tonight, we're getting ready to close out for tonight. So I just want to remind you once again, please pass the word on so that others can tune in on this coming Saturday night and hear what Deacon Marvin Cox and myself through his word. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Please pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father. We thank you that you're not like man. You cannot lie, fail, nor change. You neither slumber nor sleep. We thank you that all power in heaven and earth is in your hands, no matter what it looks like. We know that we have people in high positions, Heavenly Father, that some of them get the big head and they think they're big. But we thank you that you are in total control. So right now, Heavenly Father, we lift up our president to you. We lift up the First Lady of the United States to you, that you would move by your spirit, not only them, but all those that are suffering with the coronavirus. Touch, heal, and strengthen them. Deliver them, that they would have a testimony, and let the world know that it was you who have healed them for your glory in Jesus' name. Continue to touch the heart and mind of our president, Heavenly Father. And if he's not saved, I pray that you would move by your spirit through your word, that he would be able to hear your word and receive your word. And after hearing and receiving your word, that he would open his own mouth, confess his sins and transgressions, and he would open his own mouth and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him. Not only him, but world leaders everywhere that are not saved in Jesus' name, so that once they're saved in Jesus' name, they would know what their true God purpose is. They would know how to love all people with love and compassion, just like Jesus. For your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your grace and your mercy on tonight. We continue to lift up our Governor Whitmer, and her entire family. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that those that have tried to kidnap her and tried to most likely end her life, that you intervene, and we pray that justice be done on her behalf. And all those that had a hand in it, we pray, Lord, that you would allow justice to be done. So continue to cover our Governor Whitmer and her entire family in the blood of Jesus. Not only her and her family, but all those that are doers of your word all over the land. Continue to use us for your glory. Continue to cover us in the blood of Jesus. We thank you that the blood of Jesus still works and it will never lose its power. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Continue to bless every listener. And again, bless them and grant them the desires of their hearts. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. We love you and we thank you for loving us first and in spite of ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. All the people of God said, amen. Well, once again, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So we're going to close out. We pray for the music break. Pray for me because we are living in the last days. We are most definitely seeing things that we never thought we would see, but the word of God told us these things would happen. So don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. Continue to keep your faith and trust and hope in God. He is our keeper. So we're going to close out on tonight with I give you praise. Even though we see what's going on in the world, we still got to give God praise for who he is. Continue to do that. Know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until this coming Saturday night, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
With all my heart, with all my soul.